Welcome, everyone. Let's just take a few minutes just to kind of settle in to the space together. And as we do that, maybe we can just have this sense of really being now present. All kinds of appearances arise and pass with their Vedanas just arising and passing. We can stop and we can just spend a bit of time just being present, and everything arises and passes in that present moment. And what we'll notice is that every moment of now, it's just fresh. It's just this now, isn't it? And that now, which was the now, just a minute ago, is now it's gone. And it has to go completely so that there's room for this now. And in this moment, there are certain things that feel really important, really significant. And in a future now, they probably won't matter so much. There were probably moments this morning, and certainly in the last 5 years, that felt really, really important. And in this now, I can't even remember what they were about. And so there's a word for this in the Dharma, which is anicca. It's often spelt A-N-I-C-C-A. So all phenomena, which means everything that appears in consciousness, is anicca. And I like to translate this word as inconstant. Most of the time in English, I think it gets translated as impermanent, not permanent. And but I prefer inconstant, and I'll explain a little bit why I find that more helpful. Because, things can last in our memories or, somewhere in our consciousness for really long periods of time. We spoke this morning a little bit about chronic pain or migraines that seem to go on. And so maybe saying to someone, well, don't worry about it, it's not permanent. I think it might be more interesting to say to them, have you noticed how it's not constant? Like there's probably like waves where it goes higher, waves where it goes lower. It's not a constant thing. And is there anything that we're doing that might be affecting the inconstancy of? So we play a part in our experience. When we have an unpleasant sensation in the body and we push it away or grasp around it, that can actually make it last longer. So when we respond skillfully to the Vedana that says, oh, this is not so pleasant, so what we can invite ourselves to do is just rest in this present moment with this arising and passing of experience, and just remind ourselves everything that arises is inconstant. And there's probably, no one here is going to argue. No, some things are really lasting and they're constant. They just arrive at this pitch and they just stay that way and they never disappear. Yeah. Like we probably have no idea how it happens, but life just keeps on changing, keeps on developing. Different things come into being and leave. Our body has a constant flow of sensations. Moods come and go. And yet somehow we seem to default to a sense that nothing changes, it's always the same. Sometimes a great amount of the sense of what's problematic about our problems in life, our challenges. And the second is that they're not constantly a certain way. So we have this sense that, when something comes into being, we can pay attention to the fact that it's fluctuating, it's changing as we pay close. And we can also pay attention to the fact that in a few moments' time, this is going to be gone completely. Almost like they never really existed. There's no trace in awareness of the past. And we can bring it back into being by remembering it. And we're not going to argue about whether that. How that compares, how the memory of the past compares to how the past really was. But right now, like, where was that pain you had earlier? Where is it now? Apologies if it's still there and I've just reminded you. But it's not the same one, right? It's not the same pain as. And it's also affected by how I meet it now. Where is a thought that we thought earlier? I mean, in some ways, where is a thought even when it's being thought? It's very, very useful, this kind of practice that we had today with the Vedana. It's because Vedana itself is also not constant. Say if we pay attention to something that we feel has a, not really pleasant, not really unpleasant Vedana, something like, the space just outside my ears. And if you pay attention to that space, which, we may never have paid attention to that space before, and we just pay attention to it with the normal amount of kindness that there is in mindfulness, then we may notice that actually that space has quite a pleasant Vedana. In fact, just doing it makes me almost want to smile. Just so we actually see life is very dynamic, very responsive. And we can mistake this. Yeah, we think our things are kind of fixed. We can feel that I am fixed. But it's actually everything is changing. Someone might say that they might turn to an activist and say, "Oh, you really think you can change the world?" And I think the activist should say, "Do you really think you can not change the world?" And so this is a really helpful insight when it comes for the exploration of freedom. And we can drop this into the Vedana practice, and you see, actually, it kind of accelerates the Vedana practice. So if we say this is unpleasant and it's not constant, sense to try and run away from it or try and push it away, it's inconstant, it's already changing. Hey, you don't need to rush off and get armored up. It's just passing. And because of this, it really feels like it lessens that reactivity just a little bit more. So the experience fades a little bit. Pain is helped to last longer because of the reactivity. And we might feel, okay, now there's less reactivity, but there's still pain. But if we have noticed it, and maybe this has happened for some of us already, you kind of like you get a little bit closer to the pain and you think, well, it's kind of. And as we get closer, talking really about a physical pain here, but it might work in other areas. And we get closer to the pain and we see it's this inconstant kind of bubbling of sensation. And it might not actually make any sense to call this painful. And when it's seen that way, with more inconstancy, we might, get even closer to it and just see. And so this lens, it actually kind of increases the inconstant. And so, in a way, the Vedanas are becoming subtler, the sensations are becoming subtler because we're looking. So it's possibly helpful to speak about this practice in relationship to kind of different sorts of what we might call happiness. We could have what we might call fairground happiness. Also known as excitement. And then we could have another one that might be called something like birthday happiness. The happiness of getting what you want. In fact, it's probably a myth, isn't it? Don't know if I ever had a birthday where I got what I wanted, but maybe it happens. And what you'll notice is that the second happiness, it's probably it lasts a little bit longer. You know, excitement is very quick, right? And then it's gone. And then there's you know, the kind of the next level of happiness I might call, you know, the happiness like once you've tidied your room or tidied your space, and it's like, ah, that's very. And then, you know, kind of, so that's kind of a content. And this can last for quite a lot longer, right? It's quite lasting, more lasting. And maybe that's kind of more or less as deep as we can get with kind of real life examples. But then there's something deeper. Maybe it's there in long friendships, long relationships. It's kind of a peaceful. And then it doesn't matter if, you know, we don't get to go to the fairground, we don't get what we want, we don't have a tidy space to be in, but we just feel peaceful. And, you know, maybe a child wouldn't want to trade excitement for peacefulness. But the Dharma teachings are suggesting that each of these is a deeper and a longer last. And so we mentioned before, you know, there's no happiness in things. Happiness rests in the skillful, wholesome way of relating to experience. And so, you know, that's kind of quite helpful to think about, because sometimes seeing that something is inconstant might not, might, I think I'm doing a double negative again, might not stop us wanting it. I see it's inconstant, but I want it more because it's so inconstant. I should get it quickly. But what we have to remember is that, it's the way of relating to this. This lens of anicca is really helpful to bring in towards our experience, how we experience ourselves. We call it a lens because it's a way of looking at our experience. It's kind of a way of looking through at our experience, say, this is inconstant. And it works because we tend to think, this will last forever. You know, when I'm in a certain mood or I have a certain kind of state of mind, you know, it can feel really important, really dramatic, really significant. But every mood, every state of mind we've ever been in, depressed, uplifted, happy or sad, and we might have grasped onto it, or we might have fought against it, but it went. So how would it be to bring that lens into this moment? This mood now, this one I'm feeling right now, it's not going to last. What if you look at it from this lens of inconstancy? It's not even steady. It's not even constant. It's changing. And we actually get to see just how subtle a mood is, and yet it can have such an impact. If when we look this way, we get even just the subtlest relief. One of my favorite teachers, Rob Bebeya, and I'll give a link to his stuff later on, would say insights are ways of looking that free. Insight. So, as some of you are writing it down, his surname is Burr. So, you may notice, you know, I've been talking now for over half an hour. Attention is anicca. Yeah, it also comes and goes, it drifts away one thing to the other. You know, sometimes we're mindful, sometimes we're not mindful. And we need to recognize that, yeah? Constant within itself, either. Even when we are attending to something. You know, attention is also a very kind of alive and dynamic feature of our experience when you pay attention to it. And so, you know, a Nietzsche towards something like mindfulness is a Nietzsche. We're not kind of just throwing our hands up and say, well, you can't really develop mindfulness because it's a Nietzsche. But we should also be wary of thinking that it's not a Nietzsche. You know, I mean, thinking that it is constant. Yeah, you could be constantly mindful. What would that even mean? We can be more present, that's for sure. We can sustain presence. And so, yeah, mind is going to wander, it's also going to come back, right? That's also a Nietzsche. Distractions are also a Nietzsche. We said before, mindfulness is, actually, I was saying, like, meditation is a way of listening. Body sensations just come and go. Yeah. As we said, you know, the Vedana, like everything else, is also in this flux. It's always changing. Vedanas, this talk has had. Any thought that we have, and these thoughts, they can lead our life so much. They're all. So this body is a Nietzsche. This mind is. And funnily enough, our sense of self really doesn't feel like. There's some sense of it not being dependent on a Nietzsche that is the mind and the thoughts and the feelings and the emotions, the experience. Sometimes my sense of self is I'm full of myself, and sometimes my sense of self, I feel very empty of myself, you know, feel very down on myself. When the meditations or life is flowing very well, I feel very light. The sense of self is very, very light. Sometimes, you know, it feels very heavy. I feel embarrassed or ashamed. So this sense of myself is something that appears. And so we see, without clear looking, I'm going to presume that things are fixed, that they last. But I start to investigate everything, even subtle things. Insightful ways of looking support more freedom. And when we bring the insightful way of looking towards something, hopefully it kind of opens it out. Hopefully it lightens the load. And so there are certain ways of practicing or teaching a Nietzsche that maybe suggests we need to get more and more close to the flickering of life itself. You know, you have to get really good inconstancy seeing so that you can see just the very vibrations of life, and then that will be freedom. This is probably not necessary. There probably isn't an ultimate level where there is just a vibration that's happening. Attentional life seems to kind of resonate with kind of quantum mechanics of physics, that there isn't like an atom, a thing down there that we can get to know. So interestingly, the liberation comes from just enough clear seeing. Just enough. The thing to see as a Nietzsche is the phenomena in attention. So my attention is grabbing on my pain in my leg. Can I see that as a Nietzsche? My mind is gathered around, you know, the tension around some important thing that I need to do. And then I can see, this will also pass, arise and pass. And maybe then, you know, kind of like generally it softens, and one element maybe about that event or about this sensation in my leg, you know, that becomes the focus of my attention. And what we'll generally see is like the understanding leads to letting. And so the way I was taught, the way I practice, is to emphasize the atmosphere more than the precision. And so the atmosphere includes the way of relating, but in a sense, it's more than that. It's the felt sense of the relationship. The felt sense, the how it feels to have that. So good atmospheres is what we've been exploring, like relaxed, spacious, kind. Just as before, it was, what's the Vedana? Get to know the. And so what we find with these insightful ways of looking is that the tanha is less, the demanding is less. And when that tanha is less, the dukkha fades. And with less reactivity happening there, also we'll notice actually object, even the phenomena, starts to fade. That really speaks to the freedom that the Buddha was exploring, like how things appear, how we get into deeper, peaceful happiness. And so this tanha, this push and pull on life, is softened in the understanding and the expression. So it's also just worth noting that some of the things that are ephemeral in our life don't want to be. Everyone that's dear to us, we want them to last forever, of course. So, using the gym metaphor we spoke about before, if there's something that's troubling you and anicca doesn't feel like the right practice, we have quite a few practices already now. We have the metta, we have the Vedana practice, we have making space, giving kindness, gentleness. Nourishing ways of breathing and listening. All these doorways, all these avenues, these ways of meeting our experience. The only thing I would say there is just do one practice at a time. So we can be clear about what it is that we're doing and clear about what that develops. What does that do to look the. And that'll help us get the most out of these practices and gain the most insight into what. So optionally, I'll bring this in more as a practice tomorrow, but maybe just for this moment, we'll have a quiet minute to close together. And we'll just once again sit in this moment of now, the present moment of life on earth. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.